Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were discussing the issue of trefus concerning the spinal cord. And we mentioned that if the spinal cord is severed, assuming that it's at a critical point in the animal's body, it will result in trefus. If, however, the spinal cord is severed at a point far down on the animal's back, it won't create trefus. And we spoke about the bein haproshos, the area at the lower part of the animal's back where the spinal cord branches out. Today's shiur begins with the issue of the bird spinal cord. And we will be continuing our Gemara, picking up from the sixth line from the top of Daf Mem Vov Amud Aleph. Before learning the Gemara, we have a title, a topic heading to this sugya. In the outside margin, you will notice we have written Nosei, which is a topic heading. Chut HaShedra Ba'of, we'll deal with the spinal cord on a bird. Ad Heichon Shayach Trefus, down till what point on its back will be considered an area that, if it's severed, trefus would result. So the Gemara opens up with this issue, with the issue of ba'oifa, a bird, and we have two deos. We've underlined their names: Rabbi Yanai Omer ad lemato min ho'agapayim, until below the wings. Reish Lakish is more lenient, and he says ad bein ho'agapayim, and not any further, until the area between, as opposed to Rav Yanai, who said until the area below the wings. He, Reish Lakish, says even less would be subject to trefus, until the area between the wings. We mentioned on a number of occasions while learning Maseches Chulin the necessity of having possession of a book of illustrations. We highly recommend the book named Sichas Chulin, authored by Amitai Ben David. And as in the past several shiurim, especially as we are learning the third perek, Ela Trefus, these illustrations are invaluable. I personally would not rely on our verbal or oral explanation, but only learning this in conjunction with a book of illustrations will one get a clear understanding of what's being described. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Ula, have a koimno kame de Ben Pazi. Ula tells us a story. I was standing once in the presence of Ben Pazi, the Aisu le kame oifa, and they brought to him a bird that apparently had some type of question concerning its spine. Ubodak ad bein agapayim, and he checked till that point. The sholach le de bein asiyah, and a message came while he was checking that he was summoned by the house of the nosi, the leader of the Jewish community. So the kom, the ozal, ben azai got up and left. V'lo yodana, and I don't know, says Ula, if he left at a point that I mishum delo tzorach lemivdak tvei, if because it's not necessary to check anymore, and he had checked till the area called bein agapayim, which we said was the more lenient approach, and he just left simply because he didn't need to check anymore. I mishum kavod nasiya, or he got up in haste out of honor to the house of the nasi, and an honor of the head of the Jewish community, and not because he had necessarily finished the checking, and leaving open the possibility that, according to Ben Pazi, really more should have been checked, but he hastened out in order to run to the Beis HaNasi. The Gemara now turns to the issue of the liver. Nidlo HaKovei. The Mishnah described that if, and it said, "Velo nishtayer mimenu klum," and nothing is left, that would be a treifus. This leaves room to infer ha nishtayer himena klum kshira. If something of it is left, the animal is declared kosher, is acceptable. Afagav de lo have kezias. Even if the amount that's left is less than an aleph quantity worth of liver. That brings to fore a question. V'hotnan, but we have the following Tanaic source, Nital HaKoved V'nishtayr Himeno Kezayis Kshera. This source says that if the Koved has been removed, the animal was missing Koved, with the exception of a Kezayis, an aleph quantity worth had remained in the animal, such an animal is kosher. Which leaves us to think that you need to have a kezias quantity. Omar Rav Yosef lo kashya. Rav Yosef says the two sources are not in contradiction. They represent two different schools of Tanaic thought. Ha Rabbi Chiya, ha Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. One represents Rabbi Chiya, and the other Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Before going on, let's just point out that Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi was the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was a very, very wealthy man, and one of these two opinions, and we'll see which one it is very soon, is that of Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Kiha de Rabbi Chiya Zorek Lo. Rabbi Chiya, upon chancing upon an animal that had less than a kezias remaining, he would throw it out, apparently viewing it as unacceptable as treifa. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi matbil lo. Matbil is literally to dip something, but it means he ate it. So that according to Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, as long as a mashihu of koved is left, that's sufficient, even if it does not have a kezias quantity remaining. The simonech, in order to remember which opinion holds what, remember the following saying: Ashirin mekamtsin. This is a saying that says the rich are miserly. If for our purposes, we're not suggesting that Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, who was rich, was miserly, but we are using this saying to remember that he is the shita that holds that we're not going to be so quick to throw it out, to get rid of it. And hence he's the shita that says that as long as a mashahu remains, like was implied from our Mishnah, it is kosher. Hahu Pumusa, the Osu the Pompadisa. Pumusa is a military regimen, a division from the government forces, came to Pompadisa. Orku, Rabo, Rav Yosef, these two great sages ran. They felt threatened or endangered, so they ran out of town. Pogabahu, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera met up with them. The Tosfos explains that Rabbi Zera did not have to run. His father was a government official, was a tax collector for the king, and therefore he had, governmental protection. So for whatever reason Rabo and Rav Yosef were on the run, this didn't affect Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera met them on the run while they were running. Omar Lahu Arukoi, he refers to them as refugees. Kezias Shamru, the kezias that was mentioned as needing to remain of the liver, and we saw that in the source quoted above, b'mokom mora. The location of that olive quantity of liver that remains must be next to the mora organ. Mora sometimes translated as the gall. So it's in that section of the anatomy that you must find the remnant piece of liver. Rav Ado bar Avo Omar, this is a second opinion. It says b'mokom shihi chaya, the liver must remain, the olive quantity of liver that you find in an animal in order for it to be considered kosher, it must be found in that area called mokom shihi chaya. Now Rashi explains what that is. You'll notice Rashi five lines from the bottom of the page, b'mokom shihi chaya shakoved chaya misham, the point in which the liver sustains itself from there, from that point, the hainu mokom tliosa, that's where it's attached, kishi mu'ura Udevuka tachas hakloyos, underneath the kloyos, often translated as under the kidney area. So one opinion says that the kezias must be b'moko mora, and the other one near the kloyos. Omar Rav Papa, Hilkoch bo inon, Rav Papa in characteristic with Rav Popper rulings elsewhere in Shas, he takes into consideration both opinions, and he says, Hilkoch bo'inon kezayas b'mokom moro, u'bo'inon kezayas b'mokom shichaya. If you want to render or rule kosher on an animal with a limited liver, I want there to be an olive quantity worth at the area of the mora and at the area b'mokom shichaya. We have diamonds now that appear. They appear actually in a diagonal, and you can see under our mivneh structural note in the outside margin, we've described what their role is. Sidra shel she'elos. This is a series of questions. Be'inyan kezayis kaved shenishar betsuros shonos ha'im kosher. Questions concerning the kezayis quantity of kaved that remains, but it doesn't appear. It doesn't remain in a single clump or mass of liver in a concentrated kezayis quantity form, but rather, as will be illustrated by the questions, and we want to know what is the story with these variant forms of remnant kovet. Boi Rabbi Yirmiya, mislaket mahu, kiritsua mahu. He has two questions. Mislaket means that you gather together, meaning there are little pieces of liver that are left, but they're not in one spot. You don't have a kezayis in one spot. But if you gather together all the little pieces of liver that are left, you will add up to a kezayis. What is the din? And he also asks, kiritsua mahu. Ritsua is a strip. In other words, it's not a ball, so to speak, or a concentration of kezayis. Rather, it's of liver. It's a strip of liver. And the strip has in it a total of a kezayis. Is that considered kosher? Boi Rabbi Rav Ashi, kezayis merudod mahu. Merudod is flattened out. This is worse than the case of ritsua. In other words, Rav Ashi is asking that if you'll rule that ritsua is okay, well, what would the din be in a case of merudod, where it's a thin strip of liver that remains? Of course, there is a kezayis altogether, but it's in the form of a very thin strip. So this ends off with teku. It's left unresolved. Bo mine Rabbi Zrika Mirav Ami Nidaldala Kavedu Meura Batirpeshe Mahu. Let us say you have an entire kaved that is present. However, it's been dislodged or dislocated in many parts. In other words, the kaved has a part of the body to which it's attached, but it's been ripped out or dislocated from many points of connection. And however, it's meura, it's wrapped around, it's contained within tirpeshe, might be translated as a surrounding membrane or a sac. Mahu, is that considered okay? So the question was asked of Rav Ami, Omar Lay. So Rav Ami responds. He says, "Dildul ze eini yodea mahu." This dildul, this dislocated or dislodged kaved, I don't know what it is. Meaning, I don't know what's bothering you. E lemander b'mokim moro, if it's necessary to have remnant kaved at the site of the mora organ ha'ika. Well, that is present here. It's still at the right location. E lemandomer b'mokum shichaya. If that is the concern, that there it should remain at the point that it sustains itself, namely, we said before, near the area of the cloyus, the kidneys. Well, ha'ika, that is the case over here as well. We said the entire kaved is in place, and the only deficiency here, which Rav Ami feels is not a problem, is that it's been ripped out of its actual attachment points of attachment. But nevertheless, that doesn't seem to bother Rav Ami. Horeo shenikfo. Now we turn our attention to the lungs and the issue of the hole in the lungs. Rav Ushmuel, Rav Asi, the Amri. These three Rabbonim say, Kromo ilo. the hole that poses a problem, if it is a hole in the upper membrane. The lung has two membranes that surround it. So if there is a hole in the krum, in the upper membrane, that poses a problem. The Amri law, another version is kroma tato, if the hole is in the lower membrane, that poses a problem. Omar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Omar Rav Nachman, V'simonech, in order to remember the opinion that says the lower membrane, remember Kituno Devardo, Demancho Bei Rea. Kituno Devardo is a rose, or in this case a red-colored item. Kituno Devardo, a red-colored garment, or material. Kituna is like a ketoinus, Rashi calls a malbush odom, a red garment into which a lung is lying. The point of this imagery, according to what you see in the Shita Mekubetzis, let us say more accurately, you see this in the bottom of the Rabbeinu Gershom. This helps you to remember this imagery reminds you of the idea that the inner membrane surrounding the lung is red. Pshita I inkev ilav lo inkev tato. The Gemara feels that it's obvious if the upper membrane is penetrated and not the bottom one. Tata megin, the lower membrane will protect. This point in the Gemara seems to be in opposition to the opening shittas that we saw three rabbonim that said that Reya Shenikva, and they said the Kroma Ilah is a problem. This Gemara is saying that if the upper membrane is penetrated and not the bottom one, tato may gain, the lower membrane will protect the lung. Kidarabo, the Omar Rabo, Hai Rea de Iglid, Ki Ahino Sunka, a lung that appears like a red date. Kahino sumcha, hahino is a ta'amar, a date, sumcha, red, kshera, it is kosher. And the reason for that is that the redness is a function of that outer, the inner membrane that is still intact. The iglid is, the term iglid we should have mentioned, is a reference that the upper membrane has been removed. There's a term that we've seen earlier in the Masechta by an animal that's called a gluda, meaning it's lacking skin, it's been skinned. It's walking around without its skin, that's called a gluda. So iglid is the removal of the upper membrane. Rashi makes that analogy, by the way, at the very bottom of the page. So if you have a lung, as Rabba says, that's lacking its outer membrane, and hence it appears red, like a red date, it's kosher. And the reason for that is because the lower membrane is intact. The question now, the Gemara asks, inkiv tato velo inkiv ilah, what happens if the lower membrane has a hole in it and the upper membrane is intact? Megin o lo megin. Does the upper membrane, the outer membrane, serve as a protection? And hence, if it would, then we would say it's kosher. Pligi bo Rav Acha Ravino. Concerning this, we have a controversy between Rav Acha and Ravino. Chad Omar lo megin. One says it does not protect. V'chad Omar megin. The other says it does. V'chasa megin. Kid Rav Yosef. The Gemara rules it does afford protection. The outer membrane will afford protection based on Rav Yosef. The Omar of Yosef, and before we go on in the Gemara, let's take note of one of our markings. We have a long point here, the nun that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicates that all of the lines opposite this or parallel to this vertical dashed line form the nun, the nekuda, the point. So we're making a point now, and from Rav Yosef's teaching and description, we will see that an outer membrane that's intact, even though the inner membrane, the lower membrane, is with a hole, the lung is still said to be protected. The Omar Rav Yosef, Hai Reo Da Afshon. If you encounter a lung, in other words, you shechted an animal, you remove the lung from its body, and as you're holding the lung, you hear a sound, Afshon, emitting a sound. I Yadinon Hecho Afshon. If you can locate the exact point from which the sound is emanating, Mosvinon Alo Gadfo Oiroiko Ogila. You place over that point of sound, the point from which the sound is coming, you place over it a gadfa, a feather, a roka, some spittle, or gila, a piece of straw. E mevatzvitsa, if you see movement, it bubbles or it moves, it flutters, then trefa. That's a sign that the lung has been really, it's penetrated to its interior, so that the outer and inner membranes have been punctured, and the air is coming from within the lung, and hence causing the movement of these items that you placed over the spot. The E low, if they don't move, you hear noise, but you don't see any movement in the feather or the straw or the spittle that you placed at that spot. Kshira, it's okay. The fact that these don't move indicates that the outer membrane is fully intact, so there's no air escaping to the outside. V'i lo yadinon hecha avsho. If you can't identify where the noise is coming from, you hear a hissing sound, but you can't identify what is the exact point. Maisinon masichlisa de maya. You bring a masichlisa, a basin of maya water. Pshuri, lukewarm, humosvinon lo begavo, and you place the entire lung in this basin of lukewarm water. The point of doing this is that by placing it in the basin, and if there is a hole, so you will see, because of the water that's now surrounding the lung, you'll see some bubbling if there is a hole, and you'll know that there's a problem. The Gemara goes on to say that the temperature of the water for this test is very important. It's important to use only lukewarm water. Bechamimi lo, using warm water, hot water, will not be a way to run this test. The kavtsi, it causes, there may in fact be a hole there, and it'll cause contraction, and thereby sealing up the hole. And bekriri lo, using cold water, will also be no good. The metarshi, it has the ability to cause hardening, and as a result of that, if in fact there was no nekev, no hole in the outer membrane, but there had been a nekev in the lower membrane, as a result of the hardening, it makes it, we'll call it taut, and it will easily crack, so that you'll actually be ruining a situation that may have been good, and therefore don't use the cold water. Elo mosvinon bepshuri, rather we place the lung in lukewarm water. And then after it's been wetted, you take the lung, and then the nafchino lo, then you blow it, you blow into it, you inflate it. In other words, you would take the trachea and blow into the trachea, that will in effect inflate the lung. So now we have a wet lung that is being inflated. Imagine a balloon that you're inflating. E mevatzvisa, if there is a bubbling, trefa. It's a sign that this lung has a hole in it that reaches its interior, and that both membranes have been punctured with a hole in it, causing it to be a trefa. The e loi, if after inflating it there's no bubbling, kshera tato in kivi lo in kiv, it's kosher. If this is a sign that it's only the lower membrane that has a hole in it, and that's responsible for the noise, but not the upper membrane, hence no bubbling of water. Vahaita avsha, the noise that you hear, zika de baini baini hu, it's the emergence of air that's coming out from between the two membranes, so that the lower membrane, which does have a hole in it, is, let's say, is whistling or hissing as the air emerges from it and is blocked by the outer membrane, which is fully intact, causing this noise or whistling sound. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. We're still within the topic of lungs, though, and we have triangles that appear, and we glance at the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, where we see a triangle featured, and an explanation that follows Sidra Shel Memros DeRova, a series of Rova comments, Be'inyan Reo Shishtane, regarding changes in lungs. Gufa, Oma Rova. This is a quote from that which was mentioned earlier, Hai Reo De Iglid, Ka'ina Sumko Kshera. A rea that appears with the appearance of a red date is kosher, and we mentioned before that's because the redness is a function of the outer membrane having been peeled away, and the lower membrane remaining intact, giving it this red color. The Omar Rova, rea sheedima, a rea, a lung that has redness to it, miktsasa kshera, if part of it is has this redness to it, it's kosher, kula trefa. If it's completely, all of it is this edema redness, it's a sign of trefus. The Rashi uses a French word for this edema, and I think that this the redness here is a different redness than the redness that's described by the first comment of Rava Ahino Sumka, the red date look. This is a different form of redness, and the Rashi's French word, if you look into books that offer Rashi translations, you'll find the word ecchymosed used, and that's a situation where there seems to be blood that's emerging from bursted blood vessels, but not rising above the surface. So it's some type of subsurface redness as a result of blood vessels breaking. That's as far as what the explanation of ecchymosis is. So we have this redness. Partial, he says, is kosher. If it's completely red as a result of this edema, then it's trefa. And now a long question. You can see the kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's been encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. Omar le Ravino le Rava, miktsasa maitaima, why are you willing to accept partial edema, partial redness, to hodrabori, it will get better. Well, kula nami hodrabori, milo tanya, do we not have a precedent for this in the following source? We have a Tanaic source, and the topic of the source is making injuries, bruises in creatures and animals on Shabbos. There is a prohibition of making a chabura, making a bruising, creating bruises, and it depends on what kind of creature, and the details will follow. So, has it not been taught? Ushar shkotzim uramosim. This is the term shar means the rest. The rest means other than the formal eighth. The Torah has a list of eight types of creatures that if they're dead, they communicate tumas sheretz. There are many, many other kinds of shrotzen that when dead do not communicate tumas sheretz. For example, a dead frog. A frog is a sheretz, but it doesn't communicate tumah. So that comes under the category of the sha'ar shkotzim ramosim. What's important for our discussion is that their skin is soft. It's oiron rach. These shar shkotzim rosim, as opposed to the shmoina shrotzim, which have a hard type of coarse or hard type of outer skin. So the shar shkotzim rosim ad shietze mehem dam. The source describes the violation of chabura is violated only if dam actually flows out from their being bruised. If they're bruised and there's no blood flow, even though they may turn red, the area that was impacted turned red, that is not a chabura because it will get better, it will heal. And likewise, with regard to the lung, which is soft material, If it turned red, even if the whole thing turned red, it will get better. So why would you consider redness a problem of a nekev? Well, v'chitema l'shmoyne shrotzim medaminon la. Well, you might say that the lung, the halach of the lung, will be compared to the shmoyne shrotzim that have hard skin. Tesanyo nitzrar hadam afal pi shelo yotza. Nitzrar means accumulators, blood accumulation at the spot of the injury without blood actually emerging, and that is considered a chabura. And if that's your standard, if you're going to treat the lung with the standard of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, then I hochi afilu miktsotsonani, then even a partial reddening should be a problem. And yet you were willing to say that partial reddening is kosher. Elo lo ishna. So Ravina comes to the conclusion that there is no difference between partial reddening and complete reddening. Just like by Shar Shkotzim Rotsim, we saw that even if the whole thing becomes red, but there's no blood emergence, that is not a chabura because it will get better. The same thing with regard to the lung. And therefore, he rules leniently that even if the whole thing is he'edima, red, develop this redness, it's kosher. The Omar Rava. Rea shiyovsha miktsasa trefa. A lung that part of it is dry, that's a sign of trefus. Fikama, how much, when you say dryness, what level of dryness? Omar Rav Popi Mishmei de Rava Kidei Shetifrach Betziporin. It's so dry that upon contact with one's fingernail, the tziporin is a fingernail, it would crumble. The Gemara raises a question. This standard of Kadesha Tifrach B'tziporin, are you suggesting that it is like Keman, Reb Yosi ben Hamshulon, and what you're implying is it's like Reb Yosi ben Hamshulon, but not like the Rabbonon, which would be the majority school of thought? Desanya. Now, where do we see Reb Yosi ben Hamshulon that serves as reason for our mentioning his name? In the context of blemishes that appear on a firstborn male animal, the halacha is that if a person has in his herd or flock of animals a firstborn male animal, that is to be given to the Kohen, and the Kohen brings that to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. If, however, it develops a blemish, it does not need to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's rather slaughtered and eaten as, we'll call, as regular meat. We're just avoiding many details associated with the halacha of Bechor, but for our purposes, it's slaughtered and eaten as regular meat outside the Beis HaMikdash. What is considered a blemish? So in the context of the mum abaya b'chor, we have the following source. Ezo hi yevesha. In the context of b'chor, there's a reference to the ear of the animal becoming dry. So what is dryness? What's the dryness level discussed? She'in tinkav ve'eino motzia tipas dam. If you were to pierce it and no blood would come forth, that's a sign of dryness that would constitute a mum. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosi ben Hamshulam Omer, the second opinion, that of Rabbi Yosi, and he is the name that we're focusing on, he says, Yevesha means kidei shetei nefreches b'tziporin. It's so dry that upon contact with one's fingernail, it would crumble. So, if you're saying that nifreches b'tziporin is the standard for dryness of lung, it sounds like that's the standard that Rabbi Yosi ben Hamshulam teaches and not the Rabbonan. The Gemara answers, afilu tema Rabbonan. The halacha of Rava that Rav Popi explained was kideisha tifrach b'tziporin can conform to the Rabbonan over there in the case of Bechoros as well. In other words, regarding the issue of the lung, everyone will agree that it has to reach the level of nifrach b'tziporin in order to be a trefa, which would be a leniency, meaning it's got to reach an extreme level of dryness according to all opinions. Gabi ozen b'chor, the Gemara explains why the Rabbanan didn't say this standard by the b'chor, the kosholit be zika, it's an external limb, and hence Sholet Bei Ziko means the Ziko is the wind. The wind has rules over it, or that's a literal translation, but the wind has an effect over this external limb. Therefore, if it's dry to the extent that a drop of blood would not emerge upon being pierced, lo hodra bori, it won't get better. The wind will continue to cause it to dry out more and more, and it won't heal itself. It won't get better because of its exposure to the external elements. Aval rea, the lo kosholet be aviro. The rea, the lung, is an internal organ. The external elements have no reign over it. Therefore, if it were to reach this lesser level of dryness, then hodra bori, it will get better, unless it reaches such an extreme dryness of nifreches betziporen, and to that point, even the rabbanon agree. The Oma Rava, high rea de kaimo gildi, a lung that appears to be, it seems the scaly. The Rashi makes a reference on this word, Gildi calls it klipos. Klipos are scales. So if you have a lung that is full of scales, uchmi are splotches of black splotches, chazusa are different colors. Rashi points out that the types of colors, it's colored, it's spotted in different colors, assuming that these are colors that it would not cause it to be a trefa. The different types of colors are discussed later in the perek. So if it's multicolored, the lung, assuming these are non-problematic colors, kshera, all these cases that Rova just enumerated, the lung is considered kosher, and hence the animal is kosher. Omar Amemar Mishmei de Rava. Amemar here is quoting Rava, hence you see this dashed triangle. It's not a direct Rava comment, but it's nevertheless part of our list of Rava comments. He says, Ein Mekifin Babui. Very short comment, but we have to look into Rashi, who will give a more a complete explanation. Rashi is found on the second of the widest lines under the Tosfos, Ein Makifin Bui, Bua, we'll call it a bubble, Shenikva Berea, that was punctured on a lung. So we have a lung that had some type of bubble on it, and it was punctured. Hecha Delo Mimashusha Yoda de Tabocha, at a point on it that when the animal is slaughtered and the butcher or the slaughterer reaches his hands into the animal to feel around its lungs, we're talking about a point on the lung that would not be reached by the hands of the slaughterer. The leko lemisle betabocha, the puncturing of this hole, we won't be able to ascribe to the taboch having burst it. Now this burst bubble, you don't know if it happened before the Shechita, which would be a problem, or if it happened after the Shechita. In other words, when it was shechted, everything was intact. So if you have a situation of doubt like this, Ein mevien bua acheres, you don't bring another bubble, lung with bubble on it, lahakif lekarvetz law, to let's say place next to our sofek lung, ulenoikva. In other words, we'd have this second lung, and I pierce the bubble. Clearly, this is a bubble. This is a piercing after shechita, and now I would compare. It says valirois imara hanikovim shavim. If the holes that have been established, if these two holes are similar to one another, there is an idea of comparing lungs, but that's when it comes to comparing lungs, the organs themselves, but not the holes made in them. I made a hole now, so you might say that the hole that I made compares to the questionable lung, and I would then come to a conclusion, some type of conclusive conclusion, that it's okay. One cannot do that. Because, as Rashi says, she'osu lishtanas kol shah, v'shemo mara acher hoyo lo v'nishtane. The hole in the questionable lung may have had a different look a little while before I ran this test. So that it might look right now like a post-shechita hole, but had I seen it earlier, it wouldn't have looked like a post-shechita hole. So simply put, Rava's comment that ein makifin babui means holes in lungs cannot be, come to conclusions through comparison with other lungs. The Omar Rava, Hani, Tarti, Uni. Continuing in Gemara, two lobes, Uni are lobes of the lungs, the Srichan Lahadadi, that are attached to one another, Les Lahu Badika. No checking will be of any help. Namely, the fact that the two lobes of the lung is the lung organ is has a right-hand side and a left-hand side. On one side there are three lobes, on the other side there are two lobes. Right now we're describing a situation where two of the lobes are clinging or are stuck to one another. So that cannot be checked. In other words, the fact that they're clinging together is an indication that there had been a hole and some liquid emerged and caused the two lobes to stick together. But that's not a long-term adherence or attachment. And Rashi explains this in Dibur Masu Leslu Bedikusa, Shesircha Zu, this attachment, Machmas Nekev Hibo, came as a result of a hole, Shemitosh Shoreo Shoeves Kol Mine Mashke, Vamashke Nasa Av, the lung draws in all kinds of liquids, and the liquid becomes thick and mucousy. Nasa Av Besocho, Kamin Glira, the yotze matmat, and then it emerges little by little, derech hanekev, through that hole, through a hole that had formed at the on the lobe, nikpe. It became hardened or congealed, v'nase krum. It became a type of membrane, so that this he says kach motzos b'tshuvas agoyim v'afal pishu sotzeim hanekev. Even though this liquid, this mucousy substance that hardened seals the hole, the ein motzi rach ha'amar and krum shel machmas mat gebrea ein krum shesofli b'tzaser. So far we have described a case of two lobes that are attached, and we explained the reason for this attachment is there was a hole in one of the lobes, and mucousy substance emerged and hardened and created a type of membrane, and it was at that point in the membrane formation that the lobes became stuck to one another. And we say that this kind of membrane is something that eventually will not hold and come apart, and therefore, even though it's sealed right now, the fact that the lobes are stuck together, there's a sign that there is a problem, and you can't rely on the fact that it's sealed right now. However, everything we just said is now qualified. The lo amoron ela, that there is a problem regarding stuck together lobes, ela shelo kisidron. You're dealing with the lobes that are stuck together. The two lobes stuck together are not in their normal formation, in their normal order. Let's explain this. We mentioned, let us say, on one side of the lungs you have three lobes. So imagine the top lobe, we'll call it number one, and the third lobe, number three. Those two lobes are stuck together. They're not cassidron. It's one and three means they're not in order. It's you skipped one, and hence there's a type of tension, constant tension on them, and therefore the sealing of that hole will eventually come apart. Avol kisidron hainu revisayu. However, if let us say lobes 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 are stuck together, they will remain stuck together till the end of the animal's life, and it will serve as a sufficient sealing or protection of whatever hole there may have been. Rashi says, "Hainu v'isayu, zu megino al zu." The one lobe protects the other. V'hodra bori, it will actually get better. Shemitosh sheshoch v'zu al zu, einon misparkois v'akrum hoylech v'chozek. Since the lobes are naturally next to each other, they lie one on top of the other. They will not come apart, and the membrane that had formed over the hole will eventually get stronger and stronger. However, and Rashi goes on to say that if they're not kisidron, but rather they're, you have these two lobes, one uppermost and bottommost that came together, they're pulling in opposite directions, and eventually the membrane that formed at the site of the hole will come apart. At the top of Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, we will see more triangles, but we will leave that in Mirtz Hashem for next time. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.